If Washington wants to get right with voters, it has to start listening to them. Welcome to Beyond the Bubble. I'm Kristen Roberts, Washington editor for the 30 news organizations all around America that together make McClatchy. Every week, we call reporters who live and work in political battleground states and ask them to tell us how voters are reacting to Donald Trump and Republican Washington, and what issues Americans outside the Beltway are thinking about that D.C. still is not. On the hook this week, Bill Estep of the Lexington Herald Leader, Patty Mazzei of the Miami Herald, and of course, Alex Rorty, our national political correspondent here in D.C. Alex, what do you want to talk about today?
We're talking about Confederate statues and the politics behind their removal.
And we're going to ask Bill to tell us how it's playing out in Kentucky and Patty down in Florida.
And then we're going to go to the lightning round, where each member of our panel identifies a mover or shaker for 2018 or even 2020.
You ready?
Let's do it.
January 20th, the day the people became the rulers of this nation again.
And our ideals and fundamental values are being attacked. Do we retreat or do we fight? I say we fight.
He heard those voices that were out there that other people weren't hearing, and he just earned a mandate.
It is time for Democrats to grow a backbone and get out there and fight.
The American people would like to try something new. We would like to see the country go in a different direction to change the course for America.
He doesn't take this presidency seriously enough.
So to all Americans, hear these words. You will never be ignored again.
Good morning to our wonderful panel. Hello, Patty Mazzei. How is Florida?
Hello. Nice and warm. How are you guys?
Nice and warm. It's pretty warm here, too.
Too warm.
Bill Estep, do you have your solar eclipse glasses?
I do. We're in a great place here, and I tried to buy some solar eclipse glasses last week. At every store in town was sold out, so I ordered some off Amazon. They got here this morning, so I'm in good shape.
Lucky you. I was just planning to wear my regular sunglasses and hope I don't die.
No, bad
I
idea.
Made a pinhole bad camera. Idea. I'm that person who got two pieces of cardboard and made it for our 75% eclipse here.
You're kidding me with that, right?
No, I'm not.
Patty, I hope that's safe. I hope that's safe.
It totally is. You're not looking at it. You turn around from the bright eyes. I'll stop.
I don't get it. I don't get the reference.
That was a total eclipse of the heart.
Oh,
of
the heart. Thank you, Bill.
Thank God Bill's on this show.
You're backing me up here.
Thank God Bill's on the show.
Patty, you want to give us a little taste of it right now?
Not right now, no. On tape? Are you kidding me?
I will say, though, I appreciate being on the last podcast because the world ends this afternoon, according to a lot of folks in my coverage territory.
Who's going to listen to this? Who's going to listen? We didn't say hi to Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Kristen. Wonderful to be here.
Welcome to the show.
I'm just getting ready for the eclipse.
All right. So, Alex, you interviewed the mayor of Tampa. Tell us about this.
Well, Bob Buckhorn has been the mayor since 2011, and he's made national news in recent weeks because of his push to remove some Confederate statues from a county courthouse in Tampa. Now, if you haven't been following the debate, it's a little bit tricky in the particulars. The statues are actually owned by the county. So even though they're in the middle of Tampa and he's the mayor, he doesn't actually have any jurisdiction. But he's been pushing the county commissioners of Hillsborough County to move it. They finally voted to do that in July, but tacked on last week that there would need to be $140,000 raised privately to actually move it. They were able to raise that in 24 hours, and now they're at kind of the forefront of this big national debate about whether or not these statues should be removed and, frankly, what the politics of their removal are.
Let's just place this back on the timeline to be clear. They started this debate before Charlottesville.
Before Charlottesville. It actually, the Hillsborough County Commissioners actually voted against removing the statues in June. And then a month later in July, they voted to remove them. And that's when just suddenly last week they tacked on this extra provision about raising the money privately.
The mayor cut a check, didn't he?
He did. Bob Buckhorn cut a $1,000 check, said he had a moral responsibility to help remove them.
All right. Let's listen to your interview.
Bob Buckhorn.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. It's Alex Rorty from McClatchy. How are you?
Good, Alex. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Everyone's preparing for the eclipse up here.
I guess yeah, I guess us too, although we got a lot of work today. I don't have time to run out there and look at it.
I'm hoping I can steal 5 minutes for myself to take a gander. Well, Mr. Mayor, I want to begin just by asking, you know, look, these statues at the courthouse have been up for 106 years. Why is now the time to push for their removal?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't know that any of us control the time and the place that issues like this arise. I think part of it is a testament to the dynamics that are going on around the country. And the unrest triggered by the rise of some forces in our country that really are embodied to some degree in some of those statues, and more importantly, the sordid and dark history of what the Confederacy represented, and you know, that chapter in American life that we'd prefer not to revisit again.
You know, there are statues like this up all over the country and all over Florida. Do you think that to this point that maybe the Democratic Party has been too reluctant or overly reluctant to push for the removal? I mean, this has been a hot button issue. This is not a new issue, but it has certainly come into prominence in a major way this summer. Do you think in the past that the Democratic Party has been too reluctant to do that?
Well, I don't know that this particular movement is driven by any particular party. I mean, certainly the rhetoric of the president and some of the supporters of the president have generated a lot of anxiety around the country. And when we see the alt-right and the Nazis and the KKK emboldened by dynamics in the country to crawl out from underneath their rocks and to emerge, really has caused a lot of consternation for, well, I think, most Americans. I don't know that the Democratic Party is in any way, shape, or form behind it or advocating for it. Certainly there are elected officials that happen to be Democrat that are advocating for the removal of these statues. But I don't look at this in the context of a political movement as opposed to a grassroots movement that just has emerged, largely triggered by the reemergence of the alt-right and the hate mongers associated with and the defenders of that way of life in the South, embodied in those statues, that was not good for America and certainly not good if you were a African-American or a Catholic or Jewish.
Has the debate changed at all since Charlottesville? I mean, this push in Tampa has been happening for months, if not longer.
Absolutely. I mean, I think those images that we saw emerging out of Charleston, I think the violence that we saw, the sight of Nazi flags and KKK members and armed militiamen walking the streets of one of the great cities in America at one of the finest academic institutions was a vivid and painful reminder not only of the dark chapters in American life, but the emergence of groups of people who espouse things that I think, and I think most people think, are un-American. They're detrimental to our democracy. They are hateful. And they are no longer have a place in our discussion. And you know, when I heard Governor McAuliffe say to those alt-right folks that Virginia has no place for you, nor does America, I think that was appropriate. So, yes, I think the death of that young woman and the violence that we saw really triggered a lot of other cities to relook at those monuments and what they represented. And I think we all recognize there is a place for those monuments, for those who would want to come and relive that history or pay homage to their forefathers. But it's not on the public square, and it's certainly not at a place where people go to a courthouse expecting justice and have that reminder of a time and a place where, purely based on their religion or the color of their skin, that they were not entitled to justice, that they were denied justice. And that would not be an appropriate place for one of those statues.
Do you think, I mean, not just in this debate over the statues, but just in this larger debate we've been having since Charlottesville and the president's reaction to it, do you think that the Republican Party is at risk of being seen as racist?
I do. If they don't condemn it, and if they don't draw a line in the sand, even if it is diametrically opposed to the president of the United States, who happens to be a member of their party, they are complicit. And I think there's a lot of good folks in the Republican Party, and I think a lot of them recognize that the president's comments were mean, that they did not represent the better angels of America, that they did not represent the core values of most of the Republicans that I know, and that they needed to be called out. And some of those members have called him out, and as an American, I'm thankful for it.
Do you think the Republican Party, though, can separate from Trump? I mean, he is the president. He's the unquestioned leader of that party. If you look at his own approval ratings among GOP voters, they're still sky high.
Well, I would hope that they would. I would hope they would put America ahead of a political party. And if they saw somebody doing harm, irrespective of what party that person belonged to, that was divisive, that weakened us, both here and abroad, that they would do their duty as an American first and call that person out and say in no uncertain terms that this does not represent them. It does not represent their party, nor the values of the Republican Party. And regardless of the fact that he is the president of the United States, that type of rhetoric that we saw coming from him needs to be called out. And I saw some of them do it, and I was proud of them for doing it. I hope more of them do over time. But I think we absolutely, as a country, need to put America first.
Do you think that the Democratic Party nationally needs to push for this wherever there are Confederate statues, that it's the responsibility of a Democratic Party politician to push for their removal? And in this sort of realm of real politics, do you worry that there could be backlash to the party for pushing for this?
Well, I think every American should push for it, regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican. Certainly, as a party, I do think that the Democratic Party needs to advocate on behalf of human rights and inclusiveness and to turn back the haters and to rebuke the Klan and the alt-right and the Nazis that would choose to divide us. So I do think every American has an obligation to stand up in the face of this and say, this doesn't represent who we are. Will there be a backlash? I'm sure there will be. You know, we've become a divided country, and you know, there are some folks who fuel and feed off these kinds of litmus test issue and use these kinds of issues to divide us, not unite us. So there may be a backlash, but, you know, in the interest of appealing to our better angels and building a country that we continue to be proud of, I think we have to stand up in the face of this kind of evil and call it out for what it is.
You know, last question here, Mr. Mayor. What can you do about flying a Confederate flag on private property? I know that's an issue in the Tampa area that you've been dealing with for some time. Is there any kind of response that the Democratic Party or the local political figures there can muster to try to get this gentleman to take his flag down?
Well, the fact that it is on private property leaves us very little opportunities to do anything about it. Certainly, a lot of us have spoken out against it and spoken out repeatedly that that flag does not represent Tampa, nor does it represent the diversity of this community, and most importantly, does not represent where we're going as a community. Free speech protects a lot of things, and that happens to be one of them. And so while I find it unfortunate that that flag flies in close proximity to the city that I represent, there's probably not much we can do about it, and other than to just remind people of what that represented and the fact that it's not denying the history or the valor of the soldiers that fought on behalf of the Confederacy, but that flag and those monuments speak volumes to a time and a place in America that we don't want to go back to. There is really a difference between remembering history and revering it. It's fine to remember it, but revering those symbols really is not appropriate.
Sir, well, hey, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for coming on.
Sure, anytime.
So welcome back to Patty and Bill. Let's get right into it. We want to talk about the politics of the Confederate memorials and monuments around the country. Patty, let's stick with Florida. There are Confederate memorials throughout that state. What do the politics look like, especially in Tallahassee?
Well, I thought it was interesting that the mayor noted that they're outside of public buildings in many cases. So in Tallahassee, outside the old Capitol, there is a monument to dead Confederate soldiers. And last week, the first thing that flared up was, are we going to get rid of this monument? And Governor Rick Scott, a Republican, was very careful not to take a position on this. I mean, he denounced the violence in Charlottesville. He denounced white supremacists. But then he went and had lunch with President Trump in Bedminster. And his office, unprompted, was sending out these statements about how, well, he's always going to go and talk to the president about the issues that matter to Floridians. And after the lunch, he was very concerned about the issues that matter to Floridians. Like, just to make the point that this wasn't about Charlottesville. And then he came back and still refused to talk about the monument, even while, you know, saying the legislature can handle moving the monument if that's what they want to do. And in fact, a legislator said he's going to file legislation to do just that. But it's such a thorny question for Republicans right now because they find the violence and the white supremacists repugnant, or so they say, right? But they also know that this was a group that helped get the president elected. So they're kind of in a bit of a quandary, really, politically.
I think we should look at some of the data that we now have that's available on this, because really helps to understand the position that many Republicans are taking in the country. So the latest polls we have, now they're national polls, they're not state polls, but the latest polls show something that's very clear. One, Americans detest white supremacists and neo-Nazis.
Correct.
Two, Americans are less sure about their feelings about Confederate monuments and memorials. There was a Marist poll. There was an NPR poll. There have been a number of polls over the course of the last week. And roughly 60% of people responding to the Marist poll said statues honoring leaders of the Confederacy should remain. 86% of people disagree with the white supremacist movement. That's what we're seeing in the Republican position here, isn't it, Alex?
I think so. And I think, you know, at the risk of saying that President Trump was strategic in what he says, and in particular his Twitter feed, you know, by the end of last week, I felt like we were talking less about white supremacists, which there is no political confusion there. It's deeply unpopular, and it did hurt the president, his remarks about them. But we were talking about removal of Confederate statues. And like Kristen just mentioned, the polling is pretty clear, and I think it might surprise a lot of people. Broad and deep majorities of people support keeping the Confederate statues. Now, look, this is obviously a hot debate. Those numbers might change, and I think the inclusion of someone like President Trump, ironically, he's trying to defend keeping the Confederate statues. He's so polarizing, he might actually change those numbers, I think, in the coming weeks. But it actually puts the Democratic Party in a little bit of a tricky position on this.
Well, isn't that also a reflection at some level of the people, for whatever reason, not equating Confederate statues with white supremacy? There's a big block of the country who believe that those statues do represent white supremacy. They honor people who advanced that cause and who defended slavery and you know, led an insurrection against the United States. But there's a lot of other people who don't equate those two things. They don't see a Robert E. Lee statue somehow standing for white supremacy. And I think that's part of what's reflected there.
Well, and to that point, the statue that has been outside the old Capitol in Tallahassee, the agriculture commissioner, Adam Putnam, who is running for governor as a Republican, said last week he wasn't aware it was there. And Tallahassee's mayor, Andrew Gillum, who is also running for governor as a Democrat and who is black, said, "What luxury and privilege you have, Mr. Putnam, that you can know that that's not a Confederate monument." And so even I think the legislators here in Florida, certainly the Democrat Chevron Jones, the state representative from Broward County, who filed this legislation to remove the monument, acknowledged that that is not going to change the politics of this. And I thought it was interesting that a Democrat would actually go as far as to basically say what the polls say, which is that white supremacy is an issue separate from these monuments. Mm-hmm. But they insist that this is the only concrete action, or at least one of the concrete actions they can take after Charlottesville that, of course, they can campaign on, right? Because I've already seen at least two fundraising pitches from congressional candidates, Democrats, talking about this issue.
This is a question to both Bill and Patty. You know, the debate is taking place in both of your states right now. It's fair to say that a Democrat running statewide who pushed for the removal of Confederate statues across the state, that that would be a political liability in their campaign?
Potentially. It depends to some extent on the area of the state. And in some ways, it depends a little bit on the history of the statue. I mean, there's an interesting debate in Lexington right now over removing two statues of Confederate. One is John Breckinridge, who is the Secretary of War for the Confederacy. The other is John Hunt Morgan, who is a cavalry general. But they're on the grounds of the old county courthouse, as there are in many other places. But immediately adjacent to that, there was a slave market leading up to the Civil War, one of the largest in the South. And the mayor here, Jim Gray, made the point that you cannot have these symbols that honor these Confederates who, you know, defended slavery immediately next door to where human beings were sold into slavery.
In the days since the tragedy at Charlottesville, cities across the country have recognized the need to stand up and tell the truth, to do the right thing. Enough is enough. We don't choose the time to stand up and speak out. The time chooses us. By relocating these statues, we are not destroying, hiding, or sanitizing history. We are honoring and learning our history through this relocation. It is, yes, long overdue, but we are on the path to do it.
And I think a lot of people in Lexington get that argument. We have in our state capitol rotunda, in the center of the rotunda is a gigantic statue of Abraham Lincoln. Off in one corner is a statue of Jefferson Davis, who was born in Kentucky and was the president of the Confederacy at the same time Lincoln was president of the Union, of course. So 2 years ago, when Matt Bevin was running for governor as a Republican, he said that that Jefferson Davis statue should be removed. Last week, after all this controversy, he said he was against the sanitization of history. So he's sort of waffled a little bit on that. There was an event in the rotunda the same day at the foot of the statue where Democrats and Republicans alike called for removing that statue. So I guess the bottom line is it's a real pitfall, and I think some Democrats and Republicans are going to have trouble figuring out which way to land on that.
Yeah, I see Democrats here in Florida, Alex, seeing this as a great issue for their base. And since their primary is you know, for the statewide candidates, is their chief concern right now, they're going to go all out on this issue. But once it gets to a general, I think you're right. I mean, I don't see how this doesn't kind of rub a lot of the voters in this state the wrong way. And to Bill's point, it does depend on where you are. I mean, if you're in South Florida, which has absolutely no claim to the Civil War whatsoever, I mean, no battles were fought down here. This was the swamp. And really, Florida has very little claim to the Civil War in general. I mean, this was the only state capital that Sherman, you know, the Union didn't come and try to torch down because it was that unimportant. Very few battles were fought here, and they were fought in North Florida at the Georgia border, essentially. So having streets in South Florida named after Confederate generals, you can't really make an argument of history there either. And so it's really not controversial for a state representative from Broward County to be taking that position, right?
Patty, you were recently in Hollywood, Florida, and you spoke with some residents there. And let's listen to Thomas Lewis on honoring Confederate generals.
We have to stop praising these guys. Mr. Lee, Mr. Hood, Mr. Forrest, we have to leave those things in the past. We have to come together. We have to live together in unity, no matter what race, color, creed you are, what religion. Let's leave those things in the past, and let's progress in the future.
But if you go elsewhere in the state where they might feel a link to it, you know, it becomes an emotional and really visceral issue, like Bill said.
And think about one other thing, is this narrative, it's a rallying point for Trump, for the same base of folks who elected Trump in 2016. It plays to that same narrative where the elites in both parties don't understand you. Mm-hmm. They don't understand your history or your culture. They don't know about you or care about you. If they think about you at all, it is to look down on you. And so this potentially becomes a rallying point for those same types of people as Trump maybe or maybe not lets them down on other fronts. I mean, you know, Trump said he's going to put all the miners back to work in eastern Kentucky. That hasn't happened. He went to the Carrier plant in Indiana and they lost jobs anyway. Uh-huh. So as Trump continues to have troubles on other fronts, he can't deliver on some of his economic promises. This investigation continues to swirl around him. As all those things are in the mix, this becomes a potential sort of identity politics rallying point for that same group of folks who were for him so strongly the last time around.
And that's exactly what Steve Bannon is talking about when he says, right, if Democrats want to fight on this culture and identity front,
bring it on.
We are going to crush them in 2018 and probably in 2020, because that's what they're talking about. And they're talking about the skill with which Donald Trump and the Republican Party has pivoted to memorials and monuments and away from questions about white supremacy, which is fair given the fact that the vast majority of, right, Americans do not agree that neo-Nazis and white supremacists have any place in America. And that is why it's a losing issue for Democrats should they keep up with it.
That's why you have to continue, as I'm separating those two things, you have to try to work very hard to separate white supremacy from the statue of John Hunt Morgan on the courthouse lawn in Fayette County, Kentucky, and everywhere else. That's why you do that.
That's right.
I would just point to an interesting distinction inside the bubble that happened last week when Nancy Pelosi, the House Democratic leader, called for the removal of Confederate statues in the Capitol. There are a lot in the United States Capitol,
including one from Florida.
Yeah, right. And Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democratic leader, kind of put up his hands and said, wait a second. And a lot of Democrats read that as Senator Schumer being wary of having this debate, just like Steve Bannon wants to have, or at least wanted to have when he worked at the White House. You know, the Democrats want to just simply talk about the economy. And I can tell you, look, there are going to be so many Democratic primaries next year at the House level in particular, but also for governor and for local office. And if the Confederate statue is in any way tied to their area or is in an issue in that primary, the Democrats running are not going to have a choice. There has to be 100% for removal. There's not going to be a lot of room for nuance there. And potentially, if this is an issue that continues to percolate, it could be a problem or a liability for the Democratic Party. One place in particular to watch that, it's not next year, it's this year's race for Virginia governor, a very competitive contest in which Confederate statues are really kind of front and center in that debate right now.
Think about what Bill just said, though. I mean, you're talking about a liability for Democrats if they're not 100% on the page for removal of these statues. But, you know, Bill said something really important a couple minutes ago, and that was, you know, this is the kind of issue that can be seen by voters as mainstream politicians and people on the coasts and people in Washington looking down on them. And if you don't appreciate the fact that voters are intelligent enough to separate the question of white supremacy from Confederate statues, then that's exactly what Democrats risk feeding into this idea that you guys are too stupid to understand. Of course, this is the same issue, and we don't care if we insult you because you're a bunch of racists. You know, like, the truth is Republican people are not racist people, right? They have a different opinion on the proper place of Confederate statues in history and how you grapple with the legacy of that, right? But just taking a really obvious approach, which has been the approach the Democrats have taken for the last week, which is that they all must be removed right now because it is a symbol of white supremacy, is the thing that is the political liability.
Right. And look, in a lot of cases, Democratic politicians aren't going to get a choice. You know, we were just talking about primaries, but there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who think they are one and the same, that the Confederate statues are, you know, one and one with white supremacy and neo-Nazis. And there isn't a distinction there. And there is going to be just an enormous amount of pressure on Democratic politicians in primaries to talk that way about it. And then when they get to a general election, absolutely, it could become a liability because rightly or wrongly, most people don't see it that way. And the polls clearly bear that out.
And I will say, in a blue urban county like Miami-Dade, for Republicans, they have to kind of approach this a little bit like, what are my Democratic and independent voters going to say? And I think, you know, if we judge people more by their actions than their words, Jeff Sessions was in Miami-Dade County giving a speech on sanctuary cities last week, just a few days after Charlottesville, unrelated to Charlottesville, unrelated to this whole issue. And even though Jeff Sessions had denounced white supremacists and neo-Nazis, et cetera, and all the violence in Virginia, only a single elected official showed up to his speech. And that was the mayor of the county, who had to be there because he was getting basically a pat on the head from the Trump administration for stopping the policies of the county that it essentially made it a sanctuary city. No other politician got anywhere near it. And they didn't get anywhere near it because they didn't want to be associated with the highest levels of the Trump administration on such a toxic, you know, the day after he made these remarks where he essentially said, you know, we're going to blame both sides. So for Republicans in some parts of this country, this is also like a dicey, like, we don't really want to sound like we want to defend this issue here.
Right. I mean, and I would mention again, it goes back in Kentucky. You've seen the governor take what seems to be contradictory positions during a campaign. And recently you've seen Republicans, Democrats both call for removing these statues. And again, I think we're at the point now where some folks don't know which way to land, frankly.
Yeah.
That may not become clear until we move forward into it, you know, closer to a campaign to see what people are thinking about that.
I think you're exactly right, Bill.
And, you know, at the risk of making predictions, because we're talking about how this can be a tricky issue for Republicans and Democrats both, I do think that, you know, even a year or 2 years or even, you know, long after Donald Trump is not the president that we're going to look back at this week and think that maybe it affected his presidency in profound ways and not in a good way for him or Republicans. Just the response from the Republican Party nationally. You had senators like Tim Scott and Bob Corker, you know, talking about his moral authority is compromised from going. That's an incredible thing to say about your sitting president at any point, much less 7 months into his presidency. And so for as much as this debate is complicated and tricky, I do think there's a chance that the president has really damaged himself.
I think that's true. But maybe this is, I mean, maybe this is where it's worth mentioning. I don't know if there was a Monmouth University poll last week. I don't know if you saw that. 25% of the U.S. public says they won't change their mind regardless of about supporting Trump, no matter what he does. He could have been the guy driving the car that hit the protester in Charlottesville and killed her. And in this base would have said she deserved it.
I'm surprised that the number is that low, Bill. I'm not kidding. I don't say it to be funny, but I'm surprised that the number is that low.
Yeah, it's this is just one poll that I've seen. It was 61% of Trump supporters, which equates to 25% of the U.S. public, that says he's our guy. There's nothing he can do to turn us off. And that's what I was talking about, that rallying point for the for Trump's base. Now, I think where that might come into play, you know, think about in Kentucky, the state house flipped. The Democrats had controlled the state House of Representatives since 1921. It flipped in 2016, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't like two or three seats. They flipped 16 seats. They have a supermajority. They went from minority to supermajority in one cycle, based a lot on, largely, I think, on Trump's influence. The question becomes, if you lose people around the edges and you get back to that rock bottom 25%, is that enough to win an election down the ballot, and how it affects other races? And I think that 25% sticks with Trump no matter what. But if he doesn't get this right, if he continues to have these problems, then some of those Democrats that were for him, some of the Republicans begin to drop away. You get back closer to that 25% base. And I don't think you win elections with just that.
Depends on who you're running against.
That's true, too. Yeah.
All right, let's move to the lightning round, where each one of you gets to identify for our listeners a politician making moves relevant to 2018 or 2020. And up first, Mr. Alex Rorty.
Brad Sherman is a congressman from California, has introduced articles of impeachment, received a tremendous response to the Democratic Party.
Although I think the line has been crossed, I think articles of impeachment are called for. I'll never get the Republican support that it would take those articles to pass. But if we have this craziness last for another 6 months, then Republicans will begin to take a look at these articles very seriously. So
look for many, many Democratic candidates next year to support his resolution.
Patty Mazzei.
Lieutenant Governor Carlos Lopez-Cantera, a Republican, has said he is not running for Congress in Miami because probably he couldn't win. He's too conservative for the districts down here. But that doesn't mean he's ruling out running for office in the future. So 2020, look out.
Bill Estep.
I mentioned Amy McGrath before. I'll mention her again because she's up with her second ad this week, a very powerful ad where she talks about sitting on the runway on 9/11 waiting for an order to go up and shoot down a commercial passenger airliner to protect the country.
And even though I had no combat experience yet, my commanding officer had no choice but to put me in the backseat of an F-18 with engines running at the end of the runway, ready to take off at a moment's notice. I sat there for 4 hours waiting to see if we would have to shoot down a passenger airliner. All I could think of was, this is not what I signed up for.
And she talks in the ad very directly about how Republicans have to take on Donald Trump right now and do the same thing. It may not be the job you want to do, but you must take this president on right now.
I'm going with Corey Stewart, Trump's fired Virginia campaign chairman, who's now running for Senate, staunchly supportive of keeping Confederate monuments in place, describing himself as defending, quote, our history.
If you can't stand up for Virginia heritage and Virginia history, then how can someone trust you on any other issue? And I'm just sick and tired of backing up to the left on our heritage and our history. And I just think it's absolutely wrong that any locality would take down a statue of a Virginia hero.
That's it for us. Thank you so much, Bill. It was great to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Alex Rorty, thank you as always.
I'm going to go put on my bootleg Eclipse glasses now.
Patty Mazzei, thanks for joining us.
I'm taking my pinhole camera outside.
Thank you to our executive producer, Devin Coburn, and thank you to our listeners. We want to hear from you, so please send questions and comments to btb@mcclatchy.com. Tell us what you're seeing in your battleground state. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or whatever podcast app you use. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. Talk to you next week.
Cue me.
Turn around.
You know what I'm saying, Alex.
I didn't know Davin had those kind of skills.
Hey, every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round. Come on.
Turn around.
And then, Patty, every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Listening to the sound of my tears around. We should do the chorus. And I need you
now tonight. We need this from Christian.
And I need you more than ever.
And if you only hold, come on, Alex, me die.
We'll be holding on forever. And we'll only be making it right.
Cause we'll never be wrong. We can take it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on the other side.
Bill is hit the eject button.
Does anyone see Old School?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking of then.
Bye, guys.
It's a slightly different version of the song.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.